Welcome into another episode of the Wash Up Walk-Ons. The season is here, our first recap of the year. Utah State, Iowa, 24-14. The Hawks got it done, but left a lot on the table. Football conversation starts at 27 minutes into this podcast. Before that, we recap our live podcast at Back Pocket, our game day experience in the box, and a few other things. Let's talk Iowa football with the Walk-Ons. Let's have a day. Let's go. Welcome back to the Wash Up Walk-Ons podcast. First game recap of the year. We're here. Football is here, Kevin. And Gary. Gary's in the background today. Gary is mooching the library internet. Gary, welcome in.
Yeah, no, sorry to everyone. I'll get the camera on. I'm in my car. I'm at the library's closed, it turns out. Closed early today.
I didn't think the library ever closed.
It's closed all day tomorrow. It's closed early now, so we're sitting in the car. I just got to get the home Wi-Fi figured out here soon. But for now it's mobile grant.
It's been like a couple of weeks now. How do you not have Wi-Fi yet, man?
You know, I ask myself that every day. How this is still happening? If you want to call and complain to the internet provider or like tweet at them, like, hey, please make sure Grant Allen has Wi-Fi this week.
Is it MediaCom?
It's not MediaCom. No. We're using I'm on internet.
The fuck kind of budget shit is that?
It's more
new fiber in town, right? New fiber
it's
optics.
More expensive.
Okay.
Yeah. But I don't know. Actually, no, say nice things to them because I don't want them to be like, oh, we're not going to Grant's house anymore because he said mean things about us.
Well, Grant, stay in here for a second. Maybe Kevin and I will take over the conversation here in a second. But in the beginning, we need to sort of recap our weekend. We had a big one, the three of us. Drake, who currently isn't here, and I don't know if that's because he didn't – I do know he watched at least some of the game because he was participating in our group chat during the game. He hasn't been active in our conversation today within the walk-on text message, and usually he's in here waiting for us to start the podcast. He's nowhere to be found. So it'll be Kevin, myself, and Grant. How was your weekend, man? How's the debrief on the first weekend of the year? Friday, little event at Back Pocket. Saturday, the press box experience. Tell me.
It just feels great to have college football back.
Couldn't agree more.
That was sort of my question for both of you was, I feel like for your guys' equilibrium, your life equilibrium, it kind of needs to be within the confines of like game one and somewhere around bowl season. Like that's the time of year where everything feels right for you guys.
September through January. Yeah. That's where we thrive.
Yeah. Grant, I know it was a huge weekend for you. You had action all over the place. We'll get to our betting action here in a second.
For sure.
Pretty happy that football's back for you.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty excited. This is the best time of year. So starting right now up until first weekend of April, the NCAA Tournament National Championship game, there's like something going on all the time. It's always good. So I just love college sports. Plus you get the NFL as well. NBA is going to be here soon. It's an awesome time. Like sports are here. Sports are back.
They are back.
Yeah, August is kind of a dry month. Like pretty much all you got going on is the MLB. And
nobody watches that, so...
It's a tough time for MLB too, because if you're a Rockies fan like me, like a lot of teams have given up. Like if you're there's like 30 games back.
Is that how it works in baseball? Some teams are just like, it's not in the cards this year. We'll just, you know, we'll go out on the diamond and throw it around. We'll swing the bat, but it's just, we'll wait till next year.
I mean, if your team's like really bad around trade deadline time, you'll trade away all your best players and pretty much pack it in for the year.
Wow. Unreal.
Yeah.
For hope.
No, I'm very happy for football to be back. Yes.
Yeah. Well, fortunately, the football teams don't do that. We had some other fans who were, I think, feeling the same kind of stuff that you were. Fry Fest was going on. We were a part of Fry Fest, kind of ish. We were adjacent to them at the Back Pocket event. We have a lot of thanks to give out here. First of all, thank you to everybody who came out to the Back Pocket event. I would say it was a success in multiple ways. First of all, anytime that we as a brand get to do live in-person stuff, every single time it's been an absolute hit. And I think I walk away personally feeling every time like it's just a wild thing that this is, we have people that listen to us and it means different stuff to them. And certain people listen for certain reasons. And we have these fans that have been with us for now three, four, we're coming up on 5 years here in a couple of weeks of this podcast being a thing. Grant, I know you, this was your first chance to get in on a live event. We've basically done two before this. Kevin and I manned the Toolbox game last year. And then the three of us, did the live meet and greet in Indianapolis at the Big Ten Championship 2 years ago. This was really just our third opportunity. And Grant, after the event, I know we were eating dinner. We went to the volleyball game on Friday. You were kind of sitting there and you said something like, I just never thought that this is something I would be a part of, like that, or that this would be something that was happening. So I'm sure it was a bit of a eye opener, maybe sort of a weird thing for you as well.
Yeah, no, I did say that. I mean, like even when I got the gig, like the gig to do this right in January, like I don't even know if I really expected to even be here still. Like, I thought I would have been like fired by football season for sure or something. So just to be here for like 8 to 9 months now is already cool enough. And then like, I've gotten to do so much cool stuff already with this show that I would have never have guessed. And like most other internships, like they don't get to do anything as cool as I've been gotten to do. So I'm very lucky, lucky to have you guys, lucky to have so many great fans that listen to this show. So it's really been not only just a surreal like weekend, 48 hours, but a surreal the past year of my life. So
for the listeners that that weren't there, Gary's was a huge hit on Friday.
Hit.
People love the G-Bone.
And Kev, more so than that, Gary says he thought he'd be fired by now before football season. I saw something out of Gary that I haven't seen yet. Gary, G-Bone, Grant, G-String, Jeezy, G-Money started to actually control the crowd at Back Pocket the other day. He came out of his shell. I think Gary thrives in the live environment. Grant, first of all, you as an intern, it's hard to fire someone who is unpaid. Most other internships, while they may not get as cool stuff like the Kittle and the live event and all the stuff we've done, they do get money. So way better than our internship. However, we're obviously super thankful. And we even took a live, Kevin did a little live vote and poll at Back Pocket the other day, who they would prefer stick around if one had to be cut. And Gary was the clear winner amongst the fans at Back Pocket versus me. So if the walk-ons experience budget cuts or downsizing at some point, it's going to be Gary, Kevin, and Drake, and I will be out. And I've come to that, I've come to accept that. Kev,
I love the live show, though. It's fun. Sorry.
The live show was fun. And Grant, I know you said afterwards, like, we got to do more of this.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Our iHeart team guys, they're like, we got to do more of this. Multiple of the people that came out were like, we got to do more of this. And I'm like, I know. We got to figure out ways to do stuff like that more often, capitalize in the season. Again, thank you to everybody who came out, purchased merchandise. You guys are insane. I love seeing you guys. Special shout out to a few of the fans that I don't think have ever missed anything, like Courtney, Eric, Leo, a few others. I know I'm missing some. Like, you guys are they're nuts. Like, they're absolute, like, I think they're more committed to this show than I am. So unbelievable. Shout out to Back Pocket and Lowe for hosting the event, partnering with us on that, just setting us up, beers coming to the podcast live. David Eicholt, thank you for jumping on the show with us, providing some really, really good content, as well as Mitch from Betfred, the title sponsor. Both gave us a short guest spot. Matt and Luke from My Heart, who basically slung our merch while we did the show. They basically just handled all of that for us. And then a special shout out to a couple of the listeners who are of the female variety, because I know that you're not our target demo, but a couple of you came up to me and Kevin, introduced yourself and we're like, oh my God, we love the show. Like, I know we're not who you think would normally listen. The Ohio State fan who came up and was like, hey, I'm a Buckeye. I'm from Ohio, but I moved here to Iowa. I needed to know about the Iowa Hawkeyes and kind of be involved with local sports. So I started listening to your show and I'm hooked now. And so I'm a fan of you guys. Fucking unbelievable.
Awesome.
And then I'm not going to name names here, but I actually had I don't know if Kevin or Gary, either of you caught this, but I had one of the players' moms who showed up. Mom and dad were there. Walk on the team currently, came up and was like almost emotional about like talking to me, and said that our show has helped her feel better about them being her and her husband sending her kid off as a walk on into the Iowa program. Like getting to listen to our experiences as Hawkeyes, as walk ons, and then, you know, kind of listening to what we've turned and following us and as what we've turned into. I guess we've turned into something respectable because she felt better about this. She was emotional talking to me, and I was almost emotional talking back. I was like, holy shit. Like, absolutely. I'm glad that we can like bring a little calm and peace to your mind. So it's weird. Some of the people that end up actually listening to our show, and it's amazing. So thank you to everyone who came up and said hi and got autographs and even asked for that kind of stuff. It blows us away every time. So, back pocket.
Can I shout out Zach and believe his wife, who made me a shirt too. They made me a custom Library Gary jersey.
Yeah. So for those that weren't there, one of our listeners, Zach, showed up with a T-shirt that said Library Gary on it, and again, like.
One of the funniest things was that there is several people there that were legitimately confused at what Grant's actual name was.
Didn't know.
Most people had no. I got asked many times what my actual like government name was.
Well, and that brings us to my final thanks of the opening of this podcast. I have to preface this with like, hey, if you want football talk, go to about 20 minutes in. But when we got up into the press box, Grant, you obviously got there right at the end of the second quarter, kind of halftime. Mm-hmm. Doug was like, hey, so what is Gary's actual name? Because, you know, you were going to meet him. He wanted to have the correct name. So our final thanks goes to Doug and Patty, who are just absolute legends. I know you two got to meet them. I'm not sure how much you really got to talk back and forth with them, but they are two really incredible people. This is not exaggeration when I say this. I think Doug and Patty are like in their 60s, maybe pushing 70. I'm not really sure if I lived in Iowa City or near Doug and Patty, I would be friends with them, like good friends, more than people my age. Like Patty is my vibe. me and Patty get each other. We had a conversation. We had a conversation. We basically talked for the entire 3.5 hour game. Like she's like a top 10 friend that I have. So shout out to Patty and Doug. Unbelievable.
Doug
host.
Lives
Thanks for-
my dream life. He lives the best life ever. He gets hasn't missed an Iowa game, he said, for like 17 years, and he watches all of them up in that beautiful, beautiful box. He's golfed Augusta. He goes and travels to Arizona for half the year. Like, he just lives an awesome life.
He golfed Augusta?
Sure did.
He said he's golfed, I think, a few times.
Yeah, so he's those two, the fact that our podcast has gotten us to gotten me to be able to meet them and create a relationship there. They're incredible people, and I love them. I was going to read a comment from the preview episode YouTube about Drake, but he's not here, so I'm going to have to save that one. We'll kick things off in the football realm here with a review, an Apple review. I don't like to miss these. This review is from BadgerHawk75 on Apple. Leave us a review if you'd like. We'll read it on the show if it's good. This is truly the Seinfeld of podcasts, and yet I listen every week. It's run by an uber narcissist, a paranoid bipolar psycho, whom I worry about sometimes. The world's most uninteresting man, which I think is you, Kevin.
Probably.
And an intern that asks the most intelligent questions. Their interviews with former players are amazing, and their behind-the-scenes football nuggets are worth their weight in gold. And how can you say no to a podcast that supports the kids? They make Iowa proud.
How about that? Not as funny as the
sentient chicken
breast that became sentient, but that was pretty good too. It's
pretty good. And so here we are. The Hawkeyes beat Utah State 24-14 inside Kinnick Stadium on Saturday. It's a hot day. Wouldn't know because we were in the box, but it was hot.
Toasty.
And which I think plays
sunburned, by the way.
Are you really?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah, that sounds about right. And I think the heat plays into a little bit of what we'll get into here in a second, but I don't know. Gary, give me some thoughts. Give me some thoughts on the Hawks here.
Just in general?
Yeah, just give me your general thoughts. First thing that comes to mind after this week one of Hawkeye football.
Well, first of all, awesome to see everyone back in Kinnick Stadium. I felt like the fans are, as a whole, also ready for football to be back. I mean, you see a lot of people who like complain on Twitter, like I'm protesting this game or whatever. And it's a similar thing last year. Like I remember it was like leading into the Northwestern game. I saw all on Twitter, all these people were like, I'm not coming to games anymore. I'm all mad about this. And then it's full every time.
People so are that's liars, always like, dude.
Yeah, that's always good to see. Is like I'm like, oh shoot, are like people like really this mad? And then it's full every time. The fans are passionate, so that's one thing I took away is like really cool.
Yeah,
I think the people who tweet that stuff don't usually go to games in the first place.
I agree. And Twitter and all that is always fake outrage. Kev, what do you think of Week One inside Kinnick?
Yeah,
general thoughts.
General thoughts, man. It's just good to have football back again. I'm going to say it again because I am a football junkie. I'm an Iowa Hawkeye junkie. Being able to watch the boys strap up the black and gold one more time, swarm the field and play football just brings a tear to my eye almost every single time. We got the W. You know, there's a bunch to clean up. It's week one. But we can get into it here in a little bit more detail in a few minutes. But overall, there's a lot to be excited about, and there's some things to clean up.
You know, I get shit on this podcast. I think that's fair to say, right? and maybe rightfully so. I do see the irony in sort of my approach to being a fan or the fan side of me when it comes to college football. I will say though, there is something inside of me, a little puzzle piece slots into the right spot in the puzzle when you are in Kinnick Stadium, when you're, you know, when the tailgates are rolling around, right? You smell the food, you hear the music, you see the combine parked out behind the press box lot, and it just everything feels right, black and gold everywhere. The entertainment, the culture of it, it feels right. And so I felt right as well. And Kev, you said the same thing that Coach Ferentz said. You said the same thing that Luke Fickell said, I believe. And we'll talk about some other teams here as well. The goal is to win the game, right? They won the game. Lots to clean up, lots to talk about here. I think first, before we get into the Iowa stuff, do we want to quickly just go over the betting that we had? We can just brush over the betting recap. Kevin, you got...
Yeah, I got absolutely...
You got bent over and boned a little bit.
Fucked.
So, quick reminder, we won't go too slow on this. Gary, FSU, you have one still going.
Oh yeah, no. It's a good thing the camera's off. They recovered a muff punt, like I want to say 5 minutes into this podcast, and I was pumping the air here. So we're still locked in. It's still game time over here.
Will you enlighten me on how Houston and South Alabama fare?
Okay, so South Alabama, they're on my list now. I don't think I can ever bet on that team ever again. It was a pathetic showing. Tulane, good team, but South Alabama, they just didn't see. They weren't there. Houston had a good win over UTSA, but can I share a funny story? I know we wanted to make this brief, but can I share a funny story?
No, go for it.
Houston?
Yeah, go for it.
So I was watching this game at I don't want to name any names, but I was watching this at an establishment in Iowa City. All right, this is late at night, right? And the game is winding down, right? They're up seven. Houston's up 17-14, under 2 minutes, right? They get the fourth and one. And this is deciding the game, basically, if they get a first down. the bar I'm at changes the channel right before the play starts to Toledo versus Illinois.
And you're like, hey, I got Houston plus 1.5, you bitch.
Yeah, I'm losing my mind, super mad about it, right? So then, but this is the worst part, too, is I was interested in Toledo, Illinois, too. The game goes down, like, it goes down to a field goal, right? They change the channel again right before Illinois is starting to go, like, right as Illinois is starting to go down the field to, like, UCLA versus Coastal. I'm like, this is the worst remote management I've ever seen in my life. This is ridiculous. What are we doing here? Like, again, I don't want to name names of what establishment this is. Like, I mean, I want to support small businesses, Iowa City, but it was frankly ridiculous.
They were in the business of just teasing people too, huh? Just changing the channel every time a critical play was coming up.
No, especially, I mean, there's definitely a bigger Illinois crowd in Iowa City than there is University of Houston and UTSA. When they switched the Illinois one over, there was like an outroar of groans and frustration.
Because 70% of the student body is from Chicago, if you ask them. So that is funny. Drake, welcome to the show.
What's up?
Good to have you.
What's up?
You watch, how much of the game did you watch?
I watched it.
All of it?
No, not all of it, but I watched it enough.
Okay. Well, you'll be able to provide some insight then when we get there in a second. Kevin, Buffalo plus 28.5.
Cash.
That's a hit.
It's a hit.
Wisconsin did
not look great first half. And then they started running the ball a little bit more in second half, but did not have enough time to cover the 4 touchdowns. So
sure.
Cash.
When we went to bed at by the way, shout out to Kevin. Big thanks to Kev for letting me crash at his pad this weekend. Him and I watched the end of the Central Michigan-Michigan State game. That one went under 45.5 as well.
Yep, cash there.
So that's 2-0. But then Penn State, West Virginia. Tell me what happened.
So we have the under on 50, right? And the score is 31-15 with like 2 minutes left. West Virginia onsides it. Penn State recovers. And Penn State moves the ball a little bit. West Virginia burns their last couple timeouts. There's a penalty. There's less than 2 minutes left in the game, and Penn State's on like the 13-yard line. And we do not take a knee because James Franklin is the biggest motherfucker in this goddamn conference. And he runs it once. It's like, okay, gets tackled. I'm like, okay, maybe he's just going to like knee it out from here. Runs it again. Maybe he's just going to take a knee this time. Like, no. 6 seconds left in the game. They scored a touchdown to go over. And I am irate that is the way I lost a parlay to open up the season.
That's not great. That's not great.
I think they went for it on a fourth down, too, at some point in that drive.
Well, opened up bad for me. Minnesota couldn't get her done on -7 against the Huskers. We'll talk about that probably for a quick second because both of those teams struggled against each other. Purdue, they couldn't even beat Fresno State, which is unfortunate. They talk about a rebuilding year for them. Could be heading that way. Rutgers got it done, though. Rutgers got it done. Made Northwestern look absolutely horrible today.
Northwestern is in for a tough 12-game stretch.
I was at least 1 out of 3. Drake had the Rose Namajunas bet.
Fading Northwestern this year might be a solid play.
It might be. Rose lost, I think.
She took a loss and decision. She had a really nasty right pinky fracture in the first round, so she was fighting one-handed. She just couldn't throw her right. Or she was fighting one handed. She just couldn't throw her right hand anymore. She was totally one handed.
Tough to win a fight when you have half your hands.
Yeah, especially when you see the way this pinky was broke.
I don't have any interest in it.
It was a nastier looking break than my leg.
Okay, well then I definitely don't want to see it. So there's your betting recap of the day. Obviously, Kevin off to an early kind of 2-1 and very close to 3-0. Kevin's usually the one you want to tail on this one. So as we move along here in the season, make sure to listen to him and not me, but also Gary maybe, because Gary I think is decent at this stuff as well.
Drake knows his UFC stuff too.
Oh well, I guess when it comes to UFC as well, Drake does know
a shit. You're into that kind of thing.
And if you're gonna be betting, then you probably should use the guys at Betfred, right? We had Mitch on. We talked about him already on the podcast. We gave him a spot. Betfred is the bonus king. Kevin, you basically deduced this weekend in a conversation with Mitch, they're giving away free money.
Oh, yeah. Free money. Yeah.
They're giving you back like a I don't want to – don't misquote me on this, but your first bet of like $50, they automatically are going to give you back like $111 if you lose that bet. And then something as well of refunds up to like $1,011. I don't know what the 11 number is, but a lot of bonuses over there at Betfred. They hooked the boys up with some promotional cash as well. We're going to be making bets all year long. Betfred, bonus king. Download the Betfred Iowa app today. Join the boys in Betfred this season. Also, AdCraft, supported by the boys at AdCraft. Merchandise that you were potentially purchasing if you showed up to the event on Friday, AdCraft merchandise. Direct shipment, full customer service, quick turnarounds, unbelievably prompt on the Gary G-Bone effect design that we have coming out as well. Back and forth, quick like Usain Bolt they are.
G-Bone get his design corrections like he liked?
They have been processed. They haven't been processed, but they've been sent in.
But are they G-Bone approved?
Yeah, we talked about it.
All right.
G-Bone merch coming soon from the one and only AdCraft custom apparel and merchandise. We'll be working with them probably till eternity as well, but probably running ads for them at least all season.
Hey, it's Peter Harmon, the food guru, here to talk about Gray's Gourmet To Go. At Gray's Gourmet To Go, we are madly and passionately in love with three things: chicken lips, pizza, and great food to go. Chicken lips are the most beloved food in Iowa City. And if you don't know what a chicken lip is, you're really missing out. Our second passion is pizza. We're hell-bent on making great pizza. Yeah, you can get cheap pizza anywhere. But if you're a real pizza aficionado, you gotta try our meatball pizza. It's made with a natural starter. And like sourdough bread, it's soft and crispy and light as air. And the third thing that we're wildly and passionately in love with is great food to go. We believe you want to feed your family something great at home, but you're too busy with life to stop and cook. That's why we built Gray's Gourmet To Go. So the next time you need to feed the gang and you don't feel like cooking, just come to graysgourmettogo.com.
24-14. Drake, any thoughts from you initially on the Iowa Hawkeyes this weekend? Just general football.
Extremely disappointed in the punt unit. I would say that from top to bottom, aside from Torrey, and I don't know about the snapper. I didn't watch the snapper.
Not a great day.
They were pathetic.
Got to agree with you.
The first block. Kevin, when you are on the strong side of a punt unit like we had or in the shield, which gap are you worried about?
It depends. Usually it's the inside gap.
And why is it the inside gap, Kevin?
Well, that's the quicker route to the punter. But I want to say they were running the block out scheme on that one, on that first punt.
Not when you're the shield.
Oh, no, when you're the shield.
So you may be right that on that first one, the strong side was schemed to go the opposite direction, but the shield is not. The shield is always protect inside out.
Inside out.
Whoever 41 is, cut. You're cut. Okay? Because when you have a big dude barreling down on your punter and you're playing that position, that will – or is that the Sam? Yeah, that's the Sam, right? Or was that the Will and they move the mic over, Kev?
I didn't get a good look at it from where I would need the back end view.
Whatever. It doesn't matter. It was either the Sam or the Will. He didn't even have to move. They moved to him. Sit on your inside foot. Have your inside shoulder caught, locked, and ready to go. And when the guy gets there, it's inside before outside. If you've got two, you take the inside and hope the outside doesn't get there. It's like he just said, "Hey, dude, on the way by."
Yeah, we were extremely fortunate in that play that he only got like seems like a finger, and the ball was spinning over, and it got a 20-yard bounce after that, because that could have been a disastrous play right there.
Torrey,
anytime there's a punt blocked in a game, it's just a bad day for the special teams in general. That is absolutely unacceptable.
But I also was not impressed with the second punt. The unit, a lot of the strong side, when they tried to crash down the inside gap, they just missed their guy.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm in full step here with Drake. He's spot on. My heart sank a little bit when you hear that hand hit the ball. That's PTSD, a little traumatic for a guy on a punt team. If you hear hand on ball, very unlike Iowa special teams. And I thought we came out to a hot start. Caleb Johnson back to return takes it 60 to the opposite 40 to set up that first touchdown that we'll get to in a second. And I'm like, there we go. LaVar Woods and company coming out hot to start the 23 season. And then, you know, fortunately we didn't need Torrey until 8 minutes left in the second quarter for the first time. But they come out and get a hand on it. And yeah, they're bringing heat. But the three of us have handled heat. We were out there. We took heat.
We took worse heat than that.
Jake Hewlett, bring up the tape.
Indiana.
And in a face mask.
Boy put his life on the line.
Yeah, he got his face mask broken in real life.
Caved in.
Inside out.
Didn't think it was possible.
I can name names. It was sloppy. And honestly, I know that we don't have any ownership of that. Our hands are off the product now. But man, it kind of hurt me as like a former guy. I didn't love that. And I bet Torrey didn't love it. Torrey averaged 50 yards and he got one blocked. And like Kevin said, an unbelievably fortunate roll. And that one ended up going 37 yards. So basically, you know. Got to the, you know, I'm not going to say. You guys know exactly
what
I'm saying.
I know exactly what joke you're about to make.
But he averaged 50 and we got one blocked. That's how good he is if he can just get it clean off his foot. Drake, the second one, I think he had to rush. He piss-missiled that one on halftime, on quick time. So we got some shit to clean up there. I didn't necessarily watch punt return too much blocking or any gunner work there on the gunners.
Not much going on there. They had a pretty good punter. He had some good hang time.
Yeah, not bad. Yeah, he was pretty decent. I do like what I saw out of Drew Stevens. Kid was absolutely poking it. He told us this summer that he's put on weight. He's put on strength.
Yeah, he was going 5 yards deep out the back of the end zone on the regular.
Yeah, we were about 78, 79 average, which is really, really good. You're kicking it from the opposite 35 out of the end zone, 3, 4, 5 yards deep, both ways too. That's impressive. Drew, big ups to you. Made his one field goal of the day. So love that.
Big props to him on the one.
He made two.
Big props on the first one he made too, because that he really had to pull that to the left to miss that guy
behind him. Yeah.
That was a pretty impressive kick. He started it left and it was drawing and he still kept it inside the post. So great kick.
Elkin snapping, couple were low, and that did affect the time on the punt. I believe the PAT field goal snaps were all good. So there's some work to be done. There's some work to be done there. Didn't want to have to prefer less work to be done, to be honest, from the special teams. But if I know Coach Woods, they're going to be humming. There's going to be some intensity within the special teams periods this week.
Yeah, stuff that's easy fixes to be made.
Everybody wanted to see Cade McNamara, number 12, the transfer, and a few other guys. First possession, I think we gave it to Caleb Johnson for 4 or 5 yards, and play number 2 of the day. We thought we were going to score 100 like Oregon, or what was the other team that put up 72 or something?
Oklahoma went 76 to nothing.
Thought it was going to be one of those games for a second, because on the first pass, transfer Seth Anderson, I believe his name is.
Where's he from?
he played for South Alabama.
I want to say South Alabama.
Did he transfer from South Alabama, I think? Defender fell down.
Because he broke him the fuck off. The defender didn't just fall down. Anderson put him in a blender. He's really lucky that call stayed how it got called, because it moved for sure. But hey, a touchdown's a touchdown. He broke
touchdown's a touchdown. It, I mean, it's, you know, we're a minute into the game. It's 7-0, and everybody's looking around like, well, that looks a little different. Charleston Southern, Gary says.
Shout out to G Bone,
Jerry, Gary in the backside, doing the research. You start looking around.
Flip that ball up a little bit too quickly for my liking. Just stand up with the ball in your hands. But hey, we got it upheld, so no worries.
Cade's 1-for-1 with a touchdown, and they probably feel like they got lightning in a bottle for a second. And hey, we scored quick again. Transfer to transfer. Eric Gall on a little leak out, little tight end play, touchdown. Everybody's getting involved.
Like them being aggressive on fourth down, too.
Yeah, absolutely. First quarter was great.
Yeah, you know, you go touchdown, 3-and-out for Utah State, touchdown, 3-and-out. And, yeah, that's a pretty good first quarter.
So what happened the other three quarters? What's the big what's the consensus here? Why is it that we come out with 14 hot and then it, you know, for second and third quarter we score a total of 3 points? I know this. A lot of people seemed like they needed talked off a ledge, and that's not exactly what I came on here to do, but I do think that there's some overreaction here, because I know for a fact that Nico Ragaini was this close to having a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
Luke Lachey was this close to having a touchdown. And we dropped some balls now that Cade was kind of slinging. And from Cade's side of things, world better. He looks comfortable. His footwork in the pocket is quiet and concise.
You can tell his leg is bothering him, though.
He's a little banged up. But it looks like he's going through his reads comfortably and calmly.
Yeah. Now, if you want to look at the positives, like, I've got a lot of confidence in our passing game.
Yeah.
I have a lot of confidence in Cade as a pocket presence.
Yes.
Yes. 100%.
And I also think he's a really good huddle presence. From what I see, I think the kid's pretty calm. I think he's
extremely.
He's a pretty, like, what's the word I'm looking for, Kev? That's not arrogant. It's a positive arrogant. It's charismatic. I feel like the kid's got quite a bit of charisma.
Cool. Just across the board, there's a lot to be excited about just from the passing game perspective. I feel like we got some good targets that we can get the ball to.
Yep.
And the pass protection was – Drake, you can speak to it too. I thought the pass protection was – light years better than the stuff we saw last year.
Yep. Good. I was impressed with the pass protection.
Cade had time.
I was much less impressed with the run game, unfortunately.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I was really pretty unimpressed with the way the offensive line got after the run game. It's kind of the same gripe that I've had for the last 2 years. Like, these guys don't look like they're out there trying to eat. I mean, we had two guys with heads of steam in the open field barreling down on one safety, and neither of them touched the guy. They're both just like, ah, the other guy will get him. The other guy will get him. And the safety splits and breaks up what would have been a touchdown. And I understand that that's not even in the box. But that's just an example of, like, that can't happen. Both of those guys should be trying to end that defensive back's life. And both of them just waved at him as he made the play between them. There's just certain things that can't happen. And I don't know, man. I still don't see the tenacity.
Yeah. And to Kluwer's point earlier, Why did we only score 3 points between in the second and third quarters? We just could not establish a run game.
Yeah,
it seemed like we could never really get in a rhythm those couple quarters.
Brian was trying. He was trying to run it every which way and couldn't do it.
Yeah, I mean, had some end of rounds that ended up being some good plays. You know, like that first drive after the second touchdown, they moved the ball a little bit and we ended up getting stuffed on fourth and one. That's not exactly what you like to see. But, you know, move the ball 40 yards down the field, and then the next two possessions are basically three and outs. And then after Xavier's pick, you know, that was when they moved the ball again pretty well. We had two touchdown passes that were just – we couldn't make plays on. You know, Lachey had one. He would have fallen into the end zone. I thought Cade put a beautiful ball to that corner fade to Nico. He tried to go with the Willie Mays technique to try to catch that thing in.
It was such a beautiful ball.
I think he should have gone back shoulder for it, but
just flipped his hips the other way.
Yep. But it's a tough play to make, but that ball was put in the perfect spot.
Tell me that's not the plays, exact play.
Either of those plays get made, and that's you know, that's a touchdown. We're up, yeah, it's three touchdowns in the first half. We'll take that every single
game. Yeah.
Tell me that's not the same play he made against Penn State. Caught it Willie Mays style on that big box fade.
It was a little less dramatic of a turn, but yeah, it was similar. Kev, I was just gonna say, you know, we catch a touchdown here or there with one of those passes. We sustain a play or two that keeps a drive going. In another world, you know, this game very, very closely isn't 24-14, it's 38-14 or more. And I know
yeah,
there's.
I mean, they could come out of halftime, though, and I'm going to be honest, they didn't look great at all.
No.
5 plays, 12 yards, 6 plays, 29 yards. We get one touchdown in there, and then three and out, three and out, three and out. I think we had pulled those last couple of drives, we had pulled the starters by that point.
Yeah. But still. Yep. I know it's. I shouldn't even entertain it, but I see a lot of the opinions on Twitter. So many people jump to the finality. It's like, oh, well, same thing as last year. This offensive line sucks. Brian sucks. I saw it all, right? One game in.
The offensive line doesn't suck. They did much better in pass protection. The offensive line needs to get that down, dirty, nasty motherfucker in them.
Just get gritty.
And I will say this, some of it, it wasn't all just lack of grit. There was some missed assignments. There was, they got to figure some shit out. I saw some gritty plays out there too. They're not absent of grit.
No. I'm not saying that, but the unit did not just get nasty with a less talented group. You know what I'm saying? Like when you got guys in front of you that you know in your heart are JV compared to you, like you got to get after them and fucking prove it. And I didn't see a whole unit out there trying to prove their dominance.
Yeah.
And this is going to be the same thing as last year, crowd. It's not, because like we said, the pass protection looked significantly better. I think we have a lot of confidence in our quarterback, and we have a lot better targets than we had last year. Last year, if stuff wasn't working, there wasn't a whole lot of options to like, okay, we just got to abandon the run game and throw the ball, because our pass protection sucked last year. There's nothing to look at as what we did well as an offense last year. It's like, okay, well, let's do this. No, that doesn't work. This year, at least, if we have to drop back and throw the ball 50 times, we might. I'm not saying that's going to be a good recipe for success for us, but we have that option.
I was just going to say, how important is third down for any football team, but especially for Iowa on both sides of the ball, right? The way we play.
Huge.
It doesn't feel like we're just drawing stone dead on third down anymore. Because I'll tell you this. The run game's not going to suffer because of a lack of backfield. we have three dudes. Okay. LaShawn Williams, good. Jazz is good. And Caleb Johnson is a stud. If we can figure a few things out, get a little dog in us, right? I think that run game has potential. I don't, for these people who come out and again with the finality of like, oh, yep, that's their ceiling. Like what they did against Utah State, that's about as good as they're going to get. You know, let the guys cook a little bit, right? It's week one. You hear the cliches like most improvement comes between week one and week two. Cade was out there. He's only been practicing for a week after 2 weeks of missing camp, right? There's a little bit of lack of cohesion there probably, right? We missed two important weeks with the head man, with the general. It's hot as shit. I know that's not an excuse. It's hot as shit, but on the defensive side of the ball, we were out Jermari Harris already for two games for gambling. X went down with, I think, some heat-related cramping.
Wait, he's only out two games? How do you only get two games for gambling?
Don't know. Don't ask me. Not sure why there's different punishments for different guys.
Oh, I thought his career was over.
This is the corner. I mean, Noah Shannon, his career is likely over.
Which makes zero sense. A bet's a bet, right?
I don't know. Don't know.
I mean, I won't complain, but.
So, you know, we're missing Jermari. We'll get to the defensive side of the ball here in a second, but it's week one. It's week one. There's a lot of teams that struggle. In fact, I wrote down a few, right? We watched Minnesota, and I'm not saying we're ever trying to be Minnesota or Nebraska. We're trying to be above that. But those two teams slapped each other with their dicks back and forth for 60 minutes the other night and severely struggled against each other in a lot of areas. Mm-hmm. Same shit. It's week one. Wisconsin was in a ball game with Buffalo for a second there, struggling a little bit. Okay.
Illinois almost lost to Toledo.
Illinois damn near dropped the open. Big bad Illinois, Burt and Illinois over there. They're going to be the new Big Ten West powerhouse. They had to beat Toledo on a last second field goal. Ohio State, 13-3, damn near in the fourth quarter against Indiana. Okay, it's week one now.
Football's hard, man.
People struggle. That other team has 85 scholarships and a bunch of coaches who get paid to win ball games now. Baylor lost to Texas State. The fuck are they doing down there? And this is I mean, we played on teams that we damn near lost to Ball State in the second game 1 year. We did lose to Northern Illinois in a year that we went 8-5. So everybody just calm down, right? 2002, they lost to Iowa State before fucking damn near running the table. Hey, early in the season, shit happens. So everybody just take a breath. I think Aaron Rodgers a few years ago said, relax. Okay? Relax.
Yeah, definitely far from being in midseason form, but there's a lot more to be optimistic about this year than last year.
Absolutely. Now, Kevin, I want to hear about the defense because
not super impressed with the defensive line.
I didn't see elite yesterday.
No,
didn't see elite. But I didn't see bad either.
I do want to say one thing. Big shout out to the boy Higgins. This guy played.
I love the way Jay Higgins plays ball.
I love the way he plays. Yeah.
Great tackler.
Bro had 16 tackles.
Yeah.
Not a runner. Really an in-box linebacker.
Built like a fridge.
He looked a little bit out of place in coverage. No disrespect to him.
Nick Jackson looks pretty quick out there. I like the way Sebastian Castro played a lot.
I don't know. I was not impressed with Nick Jackson's speed.
I thought he
played a little bit slow. Maybe he's still getting used to the scheme.
Yeah. I think he'll find his way.
You know, they played well. They just didn't play Iowa linebacker well.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing about this Utah State running the hurry up is if you get them off schedule and, like, you get them a run for less than two downs, an incomplete pass, or get them in third and long, like, you're going to eat those offenses up all day long. But if they move the chains once, twice, it gets progressively harder to stop that style of offense because you just get tired, man. So, and sometimes it's just a penalty, move the change, boom, okay, now we're out here a little bit longer.
And I know it's no excuse, but when you're going up against a hurry up offense in 95 degree heat in week one, that's tough. Different. That's different than when you're going up against, you know, a normal offense when it's, you know, 56 degrees week five, right? Like it's just a different ball game.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would have liked to have seen our D line manhandle the line of scrimmage more so than they did. But at the same time, you know,
only one sack on the day, I believe.
Only one. Yeah, I think so.
Getting the ball out quick, though, right? You're not going to get a lot of sacks.
We're complaining about giving up 330 yards of offense, 50 of which were in garbage time. I think we're doing okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Now, Phil is going to be very upset about what happened during garbage time.
Uh-huh.
But yep. At the same time, you know, Xavier was out.
Is he okay?
I think it looked like cramps to me.
KF said he'd be okay. He couldn't flex it. Like his whole leg was dead stiff coming off the field when he came off. And I believe it just looked like a cramp.
Get a boost in you.
Yeah. Guy's going to need a boost, a little pickle juice. He'll be all right. Yeah, get him an element tea.
Yeah. There's a few, I won't say blown coverages, but you know, coverage mishaps that we had out there, but nothing can't be cleaned up.
I think everybody coming out of this game felt like, ugh, would have loved to see more. Again, I think for now, you have to sit and just ride on the potential that is there and understand that not only do every football team, basically every football team, get better from week one to week two, hopefully week to week throughout the season, but Iowa specifically is a team that is built to just build week after week after week. We literally harped on it. It's the slight edge, man.
Yeah, the first few weeks of the season, the Tuesday, Wednesday practices are
legit.
Getting like, after it.
Yeah, they're almost camp like where we're still improving our fundamentals. We're still working on a lot of Iowa versus Iowa stuff. We're trying to just become better football players versus just preparing for the next game week.
Yeah. Do we Kev or Drake, do you guys remember a specific hit from somebody? We've got a new segment this year or a sponsored
Coop had a sweet one.
He did
he came in and filled it hard with his shoulder and that was a pretty sweet hit.
Well, this year we are we're partnering with Premier Automotive out of North Liberty for the collision of the game.
Shout out to them.
Hit a deer, call Premier.
Not exactly a huge collision, but I will shout out Sebastian Castro. Had a beautiful play where when he fought through.
After he missed a tackle, he turns around.
He fights through two, like a double team block and makes a tackle on a screenplay for a TFL, which was freaking awesome.
He comes downhill really well, and I like seeing it.
And he closed inside out on that play. He missed too, but he like closed inside out slow and killed his own momentum and then just kind of, you know, took a tough one.
So shout out to Premier Automotive giving us that that cool little collision of the game. We'll hopefully, you know, have some
keep big an eye time out hits. For that moving forward though.
Yeah. I don't think, is it lackluster? Sure, we scored 24 points. People are talking about the 25 point line and all this bullshit, right? Let's let them simmer a little bit. Let's let the guys figure it out. Iowa State did come out and play well against you and I. That line was crazy with how many people they got out. It's going to be a raucous environment in Ames. I'll be there in Jack Trice Stadium with a couple of my boys from high school this upcoming Saturday. It'll be a testing environment. Right, Cade in the post game said he was actually glad they got to see a little bit of adversity. I think these guys will be ready. But this isn't Utah State. They'll probably be a little better than that.
But will they?
We'll see. We'll see.
Maybe.
There's a lot to be excited about, and there's stuff to clean up. But it's week one, and you're not going to get crisp gameplay on week one. You'd be happy about. No turnovers.
Yeah.
Penalties were You'd like a little sloppy.
A little sloppy. Clean those up. I'm telling you, there's a lot of little things here that wasn't exactly Hawkeye football that if they just turn the knob a little bit, man, this looks like a vastly improved team. I really believe that.
Did y'all see before we end that Colorado uses a different form of captain's emblems?
Well, so I was actually going to end us with Dion in Colorado and what you guys thought of all that because
beautiful.
It's I'll be honest. Going into this week, I don't know why. Maybe it's because I want to be. I just have this natural disposition to be different in life. I was kind of like, I hope Colorado gets fucking stomped by TCU. Oh,
not me, man. I was cheering for him.
And I'll be honest, now that they went in and they proved like that they can compete and Dion and that team is backing up all the shit that they're talking and stuff that they're putting out, I'm on the bandwagon now. I want to see them beat everybody. Starting with the Huskers this week. Nebraska,
definitely
guaranteed.
They're going to stomp them out. But what? Nebraska's getting stomped. Are you shitting me? This Colorado team is way, way, way better than Nebraska.
They've got some talent, man.
Grant shared this from the background. There are no team captains at Colorado. This is from Bleacher Report. There are no team captains at Colorado this year. Instead, Coach Prime gave out L's for leaders and D's for dogs. Damn, I kind of like that D.
And Travis Hunter played 120 snaps yesterday.
Said he wasn't tired. That's
insane.
How much running did he do this summer, dude? Well, I want to know what his GPS numbers say. I want somebody to drop that GPS.
I want to see what the high-speed distance was.
Did you see the pick he made on the goal line?
Jesus, that was a beauty.
Yeah, they're going to be a fun team to watch this year.
Dude, his son can sling it, too. He threw for 500 yards.
Travis Hunter, the game is slow for him, and you can see it. It is creeping along. When he jumps up to high point a ball, he's in the matrix because his hands, dude, he's special, special.
He's that man has some stuff genetically that the three of us
don't have combined.
We can't even comprehend it.
Coach Prime said he was bringing Gucci. He wasn't lying.
Hey, brought his own luggage, man.
Looks like he brought a pretty good culture too to whoever that bozo was in the fucking
man. Somebody in the Discord was like, "Fucking this old." I mean, this old line is putrid. Like the emotional response of these people, man. Mm-hmm. I want to love the fans, but then they have these emotional roller coaster takes. I can't fucking handle it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God! Somebody settle down and just let some things play out. So Iowa State week two, we'll have the preview on Thursday. I think this one's actually going to come out on Tuesday because we care about the numbies around here. Most people listen to this show, especially in season on a routine, and people are not going to be at work on Monday, which means they will not listen to it on Monday. So we're going to have it come out on Tuesday so that they're on their way to work or they're on their lunch break or whatever it may be. And then we'll preview on Thursday.
I feel like the people who want to listen on Monday are going to be pissed.
Well, they'll get it eventually. Wow. For once, I think Kevin left before you.
Well, wow.
Holy shit. Thanks for listening.
Peace.
Again, thanks to everybody who came to the Back Pocket event. And we'll try to get some more of those done this season. We will be previewing Iowa State. Maybe we'll get a crossover Iowa State. Utah State crossover completely flicked on me last week. Unbelievable. We're trying to grind out content. Doing our best. We will we'll talk to you next time. Peace. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.